AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Welcome into another episode of Tailgate Talk SEC. I am Will Thomas, week 13 recap coming at you. Now, we all saw the games yesterday, right? There's not a whole lot of fun stuff to recap, but we got to go through every single game, and we'll go through the implications for next week, which is going to be unbelievable football. So let's just get right into it. A bunch of cupcake games. We'll fly through those real quick. Samford at Texas A&M, 48-0 by the Aggies. Just beautifully done. They won the first down battle 22-3. Samford was over 15 on third down. A&M had 475 yards compared to Samford's 77. They spread it out. They kept it clean. And they got the Longhorns on deck. A&M gets to go to Austin to try and go 12-0 and undefeated in the regular season, which is not something that I thought anybody was going to do this year in the SEC. They are a playoff lock, are the Aggies. They can play their way into Atlanta. We'll see what happens. Charlotte went to Georgia, 35-3 dogs. Very similar story as A&M. 30-7 first down battle for Georgia, 449 to 169 total yards. 15 guys caught a pass for Georgia. You never see that. I mean, Kirby really spread it out. He let everybody get some. So a big one-time win for Georgia. And you can go clinch a playoff bid against Georgia Tech next week, who will be playing with a little more fire, a little back against the wall after their loss to Pitt, because they know they need this Georgia game now if they want any shot of making the playoff. Mercer at Auburn, 62-17 Auburn. Deuce Knight is an absolute electric factory. And I don't know why this was his first action on the year. Hugh Freeze was playing Auburn's third-best quarterback throughout the season in Jackson Arnold. And I know that it's Mercer, but Deuce in his first ever start was 15 of 20 passing for 239 and two scores, ran the ball nine times for 162 yards and four scores. True freshman, his legs are an absolute issue. They're going to be for anybody that they play. And he's got a chance to really cement himself as Auburn's quarterback of the future in that game against Alabama next week. Speaking of Bama, they beat Eastern Illinois 56-0. They won the first down battle 32-3, 539-34 total yards. They held a football team to 34 total yards. And it turns out that Bama can actually run the ball on opposing teams. They were 5.5 yards per carry, but I have no reason to believe that that'll carry over against a power opponent, especially like Auburn. But business handled, and now Jordan Hare is waiting for you, if you're Alabama, to make the playoff. Coastal Carolina at South Carolina, 51-7 Gamecocks. It was a good bounce back for Carolina. I thought this was a tricky spot for them. I thought they were going to kind of maybe just be quitting, sort of sleepwalk into this game, and that Coastal, who has way more to play for, would come in and give them their best shot. That didn't happen. It was a dominant game for South Carolina. Lenore Sellers threw for 274 and two scores, also led SC in rushing. So they're able to avoid a look ahead to Clemson. They didn't look slow. They looked good. And maybe they have a shot to take out down the Tigers, who also suck, next week. Western Kentucky at LSU, 13-10. This game was a computer game for me. LSU was only 3 for 16 on third downs, but they outgained Western 328 to 152, and they held Western Kentucky to 0.9 yards per carry. In LSU's defense, it was great like it has been all year. They only allowed 3 points. Western Kentucky had a last-minute scoop and score when they should have just been kneeling the ball to make that 10 and make it look a little closer than it was. Michael Van Buren threw for 202 yards, a touchdown, also had a pick. Harlan Berry carried the ball 18 times for 80 yards. It was a slow game, but they won. Their defense took care of business, and now they get to go try and spoil Oklahoma's hopes and dreams next week in Norman. Kentucky went to Vanderbilt 45-17. Now we're into games that matter a little bit more. But what a send-off for Diego Pavia. He was 33 of 39 passing for 484 yards and five touchdowns. Did have an interception, but he was also Vandy's leading rusher, 15 carries for 48 yards and a touchdown. Trey Richardson is just awesome. He's a total lightning bolt. His connection with Pavia is elite. He had six catches for 159 yards and three touchdowns. Only 31 rushing yards for Kentucky. We're used to seeing guys like Seth McGowan, Dante Dowdell really be able to be more of a threat on the ground, and they weren't against this Vanderbilt defense. Cutter Bowley was fine. He threw for 288, two touchdowns, did have two picks, but Vandy just outclassed Kentucky, and they weren't looking ahead to Tennessee at all. This did feel like a bit of a potential look-ahead spot, but now they need to win next week through the Commodores. They need to go win this game in Neyland and probably get some help if they want to make it to the college football playoff. Let's go to a splattering. Tennessee at Florida. 31-11 Tennessee. This game was worse than the 20-point difference that is on the scoreboard. Tennessee outgained Florida 452-261. They only had 204 yards passing, did the Vols, but 248 on the ground. They won the time of possession, and just four flags on the road in Gainesville is very impressive. DeShaun Bishop, 24 carries for 116 yards and two scores. He was dominant. DJ Lagway for the Gators, man, 11 of 17 passing, only 116 yards and a touchdown. Jaden Baldemy was the only offensive player for Florida who wanted to be there. He carried the ball 18 times for 96 yards. That won't blow you away, but looking at his carries, he was getting hit behind the line just about every single play. But he was breaking tackles, he was being physical, and he was getting downfield, and he was a bit of a spark. It is really rare to see the Swamp taken out of a game so fast, especially by a Tennessee team who hadn't won there since 2003. So the Vols get that monkey off their back. Now they get to go home and host Vanderbilt to try and kill their playoff dreams. That's going to be a really fun game next week, Vandy at Tennessee. And Florida gets to play FSU on, I believe, Nickelodeon. I think Nickelodeon's where that game's being played. So we'll see how that goes. Arkansas at Texas, 52-37 Texas. This was back and forth for a while, but then in the second half of that game, Texas was able to just lean on Arkansas. Arch Manning was through for 389 yards and four scores. There were four receivers for Texas over 70 yards. And Taylor Green was knocked out of the game for Arkansas, but KJ Jackson came in at quarterback, and he looked really, really good as Arkansas's potential future quarterback. He threw for 206 and a touchdown. Mike Washington Jr. for Arkansas carried the ball 17 times, 105 yards, also a score. I regret not taking the over in this game because like 5 minutes in, it was obvious that Arkansas's offense is plenty good enough and Texas was not going to be stopped. So Texas, they get A&M now. They get a chance to knock off A&M and add one more win to their resume that might get them into the at-large discussion for the playoff. Do I think Texas should be in if they win that game? I don't, but they believe that they should be if they win that game. And it's an in-state rivalry regardless. They're going to give the Aggies their best shot. And then finally, Missouri at Oklahoma, 17-6 Sooners. Oklahoma just keeps relying on their defense to win them games, and it's working. Only 2 yards per carry for Missouri. Ahmad Hardy was handled, and they were able to pick off Bo Pribula twice. They forced four sacks and eight tackles for loss. Their offense still needs to click. Those Oklahomas, they were outgained by Missouri. They only had 3.2 yards per carry. John Mateer just 14 of 30 passing for 173 yards and two scores. But Isaiah Satania, to nobody's surprise, popped another explosive touchdown, 87 yards on a slant route. They couldn't really establish Xavier Robinson. Could Oklahoma in their running game? John Mateer led them on the ground with 60 yards. And if you really believe that defense wins championships, this team is your favorite thing ever. You know, I had them as a playoff team over the summer. I like them a lot still. They should make the playoff, assuming they beat LSU. But their offense is going to need to find at least another touchdown per game if they want to truly make a run in the playoff. Because the way that it's currently going, once you play an elite offense who will still be able to get to, you know, 21 on you, regardless of how good your defense is, they're just going to have to score more. So we'll see if they can. So that's it. Those are all the games. Let's get the dudes of the week here. Another quick episode because there's not much competition to talk about. But my first dude is Diego Pavia. His senior day at First Bank Stadium, almost threw for 500 yards and five touchdowns. He built Vandy from the ground, and he got that curtain call at the end. That was a really, really nice moment. He's just an absolute gamer, and I do hope that Vandy's able to find their way into the playoff because that team in the playoffs would be must-see TV. Second one. Deuce Knight, again, I mean, true freshman, I get that it was against Mercer, but he looked so comfortable, he looked so confident, and he looked so explosive, just a lethal weapon running the ball on the ground. He's going to be a problem in the years to come for Auburn. And then Arch Manning, I have him in here because of his numbers, but also he was the first Texas player ever to pass for, run for, and catch a touchdown in a game. The first guy in the SEC to do that since Farrell Cooper did it at South Carolina. He looks comfortable. He looked confident. Now, the Arkansas defense is horrible, and A&M's is good, so it'll be a level up in competition, but maybe he can lead the Horns to a big-time upset next week. That's it. We're going to be sub-10 minutes here today, but there's not a whole lot to talk about on the field. This next week, we'll have all Lane Kiffin stuff, right? I mean, we're getting his announcement in theory on Saturday after the Egg Bowl, but this next week is going to have so many good games. This will be the most fun preview week of the year, I think, for me, and I hope that you guys will be along the ride. So thank you guys so much for watching this episode of Tailgate Talk SEC. If you enjoyed, please subscribe, please leave a comment, let me know what you think, and I will see you guys next time.